The Game's the Game
by Hogwarts Firebolt.
What was going through your mind when you spotted the snitch? Two camera shutters go off like lighting, but Draco doesn't blink. It's almost the end of the season, and he's on a press conference every week. He's used to them. Fucking finally, he answers, and the journalists all laugh. They think he's joking, and he can already imagine the articles they'll publish tomorrow pronouncing him cheeky and funny, but he means it wholeheartedly. 6 hours in the sky, drenched all the way through his pants in rainwater, and facing the very worst player in the league. He'd half a mind to drop off his broom if only to have that game end somehow. This is the second time you face Podomayu, and well, Harry Potter, this season, says another reporter. A young, pretty woman with her hair pinned up, and a reverent tone when she speaks Potter's name, like everyone. Are you expecting to counter him at this year's cup? And if so, how does that make you feel? Draco breathes out hard through his nose. Across the room from him, sitting at his own table against the wall opposite, Potter's doing his own press conference. He's wearing a hat backwards, the light blue of his team hoodie contrasting with his golden warm skin tone. He has a hand to his chin, rubbing his short beard and thought at some question he's been asked. Probably about just how sweet it'd been to snatch that snitch right from under Draco's nose. He's earnest and so gorgeous Draco can't stand the sight of him.
The game is the game.
Harry's voice carries, clear and testy. Deeply masculine, he says his favourite little quote that means absolutely nothing, and that fans have been yelling and tattooing on their bodies the whole season.
We don't take any victory for granted. Coaches be running us to the ground. She won't stop until we have that trophy in Podomir, and we're doing our best to make her proud.
Oh, I'm certain we'll face them at the cup, is what Draco answers at last. Honestly, I think no other team comes even close. We'll face them, and then we'll bring the cup home to Appleby. As Potter himself likes to say, the game is the game. All the cameras around him go off. The sounds of Quickquill scrabbling, and the porter's scandalised gasp at his use of Potter's quote. He grins, puts his olive green arrows cap on, and stands to leave. He needs a fucking shower. Later on, he's sprawled on his hotel room couch, drying his hair with a towel, and watching a replay of the game on the enormous television, making mental notes about his own flying, his mistakes, the times he dove too soon or hovered too low. When the screen follows the blue jersey of Potter 7 emblazoned across the back, he looks closely, trying to spot mistakes, but knowing he won't find any. Potter's probably the best flyer of the century, and Draco loves Quidditch too much to lie to himself about that. He's admiring one of Potter's physics-defying feints when there's a knock on his door. Immediately, his heart takes up a gallop, and he has to press a hand to the centre of his chest with a frown. "Calm the fuck down, Malfoy," he mutters. It's a disproportionate reaction, and he's irritated with himself for it. It's not as though it's the first time, or the tenth. He pauses the game with a flick of his wand and makes his way to the door, through the archway that separates the TV room from the kitchenette. A quick look at the archway across the suite to make sure the bedroom is as he left it. And he's at the door, taking a deep breath. Potter's grin is huge when Draco opens. He's forgone all his team outerwear, and is now in a familiar worn leather jacket and a black sweater. His hair is wet, as though he's rushed after his shower so he could get here quicker. Draco opens his mouth to say something. But before he figures out what, Harry pushes inside, turns around and presses him against the door. Big hands gentle on Draco's waist. Draco's heart hasn't gotten the "this isn't the first or tenth time this happens" memo, and is still running a marathon inside his chest, so he says nothing. There's a plastic bag in Potter's hands. Dinner, probably. He usually brings dinner when they meet after a game. His wide smile reveals white teeth. A crooked canine that Draco knows is a baby tooth that never loosened. Round stylish glasses cover the most intoxicating green eyes Draco's ever seen, and they're shining with tonight's victory. And Draco might be, definitely is, the world's sorest loser, but he's also the world's biggest slut for Quidditch excellence, and he has it right here, holding him against his hotel room door.
"The game is the game," Harry asks, amused,
already leaning in, the hand on Draco's waist moving to wrap the whole way around him and pull him close. "Just some stupid phrase I've heard from a dickhead," Draco answers, but the words hold the shape of a smile, and are uttered right into a kiss there at the end. It's always a race at the start. They're both high from the game, still in that mindset, and it's a competition to see who can undress quicker, who can make the other harder, who can earn the first moan and coax the first orgasm of the night. But after that first one, after Draco's jaw aches dully and Potter's softening between his legs, everything slows down a little. Potter helps him up, and they share the tackies Potter bought, watching the last minutes of the game they played earlier with Draco's legs up on Potter's lap, where he's massaging his knees, his quads, making sure he's not achy from kneeling for him.
"I really fucked that one up," Potter comments.
His tiny self on the screen just pulled out of an impossible dive at what looks like a 90-degree angle. He sounds earnest, which is the only reason Draco isn't kicking him right in his beautiful face.
"I hate you so much. Only you would call that a fuck-up."
Potter hums, his massaging hands moving from Draco's calf to his heel, his thumb pressing into his soul. On the screen, tiny Draco swerves the bludgeon aimed at his head, and his teammate Owen is flying to him to make sure he's all right.
"That guy is so into you," Potter points out.
"I know. We fucked all through rookie year." Potter turns to look at him so fast it must hurt his neck. Draco raises an eyebrow, confused at the strong reaction.
"What?" I don't know," Potter says, suddenly sheepish.
His hands haven't stopped moving over Draco's foot. Potter's skin is dark, but Draco can still make out the blush spreading across his cheekbones.
"Isn't it weird? He's a teammate."
There's something he's not saying. It's evident in the way he bites his bottom lip, in the way he obviously wants to look away, but is too ridiculously brave to actually do it. Draco's heart thumps inside his chest, so hard he's sure it must be audible to Harry too. They've never named this thing between them. The first time they did it, after the quarterfinals 1 year before, with Potter's ill-advised kiss that ended with them fucking in the showers of the stadium after Potter wiped the damn dust with Draco on the pitch. They'd agreed to keep it quiet, and that was the last they discussed of it. It's going on 14 months since then, and they've done it at least once a month, when the league brings them to nearby towns, and sometimes when it doesn't, and they take a quick midnight porky to each other to blow off some steam. Drake has never in his life been as well fucked as he's been this past year, and he definitely doesn't want to lose it. Potter's always been honest and open with him, vocal and bad about how much he wants him, filthy in his occasional text messages when they're apart. But he's never given any indication that he wants anything other than exactly what they have.
"It's not weird," Draco says slowly, unsure of what to think of this exchange. "We stopped a while ago. I was clear that I didn't want... that I'd rather we stayed friends and teammates without any complications."
"Right," Potter says.
He sounds relieved, and Draco feels like he's 3 steps behind the conversation they're having. He's about to ask, but Potter's fingers on his cuffs move over an old knot, and he groans instead, letting his head fall back onto the couch cushion.
"That feels great," he says, and Potter repeats the motion.
"Yeah, I think you pulled it when you made that X-turn."
The turn he made to try to beat him to the snitch, he doesn't say. How he had enough awareness to know Draco attempted it while diving for the snitch himself is beyond comprehension. But Draco's long accepted that Potter's simply insane about the game. He notices everything, considers everything, takes every risk. If he weren't a player himself, Draco knows he'd be following Puddlemere and Harry wherever they played for the entire season, wearing a pale blue jersey with the number 7 on it.
"Probably," Draco says,
and groaning again when Harry keeps pressing the same point. After a moment, he feels something softer brushing his calf, and opens his eyes to find Harry bent over his leg, kissing a path up towards his knee. He can't help the embarrassing little sound he makes, and Harry's laugh is a puff against his skin as he keeps moving up. Breath warm on the wet trail of his kisses up Draco's thigh. In the background, the presenters are going crazy over a feint Harry pulled, the sound of the audience carrying all through the stadium and out of the TV speakers. Harry has made his way high up and is kissing Draco's birthmark, a brown, apple-sized beauty mark an inch below his groin when he lifts his head to ask,
"Why didn't you want to?"
Draco can't believe he's using his mouth to speak at that moment. He licks his lips, trying to make sense of the question.
What are you even?
He tries to sit up a little, but Harry moves over him instead, so they're eye level without Draco having to move at all.
"With Cadell. Why didn't you want to keep seeing him?"
"Owen? Why the fuck are we talking about?"
Draco lets his head drop down onto the cushions again, a sigh punched out of him. Harry takes pity and leans forward to kiss him, lips soft over Draco's, knowing exactly how to coax his kisses out of him the way he likes best.
I just want to know, Harry whispers against his lips. He's breathless just from touching Draco, from rubbing his legs, from kissing him. Fuck, this is insane.
I like him, but it wasn't very exciting, Draco says.
He closes his eyes as Harry begins to kiss down his neck, and tries to really think about it, because he's not even sure himself.
I wasn't willing to risk our teamwork when what we had wasn't even that electric. I don't know. This sounds insane.
Harry shakes his head, his beard rubbing against Draco's collarbone.
It doesn't. I get it.
He bites on the delicate skin connecting his neck and shoulder, licks a path down his chest.
I get electric.
Fuck, yes, you do,
Draco says, nonsensical. But he feels he can't be blamed when Harry's brushing his lips over his nipples, broad hands moving around Draco's body to secure a grip over his ass.
Is this? Harry asks,
mouth nearing the V of Draco's hips, the edge of the trail of hair leading to his crotch.
Electric?
Draco swears, fingers running through Harry's hair and finding a grip, hard.
If you don't put your mouth on me right now, I swear I... Yes!
He spreads his thighs to accommodate Harry between them, one hand gripping Harry's hair and the other curled around the cushion over his head. It is electric, the way Harry knows exactly which buttons to push, sliding a finger inside him while keeping him on his tongue. He's a prodigy in this too, the star player who knows every move in the playbook that is Draco's body. It feels like no time at all, no effort at all before Harry is pulling back, dragging Draco closer by the waist and working himself inside. The feel of it, the sound of them together, the look into Harry's open gaze, his sweat dripping onto Draco's chest and his hands underneath Draco's back, holding him, pulling him onto him, having Draco nearing release almost too fast for his liking. But the knight is young, and it's been so long that he lets himself go. A cord snapping in his core, eyes open as he watches Harry watch him come apart.
Come on,
he says once he's come down, lifting his hips, shifting his weight onto his shoulders.
Show me what you've got, Potter.
Harry groans and leans forward, kisses Draco's jaw on his neck, and drives his hips faster. Draco wraps his arms around Harry's back, moves with him as much as he can in the tight embrace, and remains close as Harry meets his own peak and tumbles down the edge. They lie together for a couple minutes afterwards, panting into each other's skins, basking in the afterglow.
Some pro athletes... We have the stamina of 2 18-year-old virgins,
Draco mutters into Harry's hair after a while, and feels Harry's chest rumble with his laughter. The room is cast in the warm glow of the footlamp that stands beside the sofa they just fucked in, exactly like 2 18-year-old virgins having the chance to touch for the first time in their lives. Harry always goes boneless and slow after a good lay, so Draco eases him off his body with tenderness, a gentle hand to Harry's chest, followed by a kiss.
Let's go to bed, yeah?
He whispers. Harry groans.
I don't want to move.
That's too bad, because I'm exhausted and I'm going to bed. Some idiot drove me to the ground on the pitch today.
He stands up and shakes out his legs, testing the soreness of his muscles. There'll be an ache tomorrow, but nothing he can't handle. Despite his complaint, Harry is already standing up too, coming up behind Draco, a hand finding its way to the flat of his belly. His forehead on Draco's shoulder as though he can't bear not to touch him for even a second.
Bed it is, he declares against the skin of Draco's shoulder,
sounding halfway asleep already. Draco huffs a laugh and pulls him towards the bedroom, pausing at the kitchenette to grab 2 glasses of water that he watches Harry drink in 3 gulps, a couple drops sliding down the sides of his mouth, into his beard and down his neck, his Adam's apple bobbing.
What?
He asks when he catches Draco watching him. And Draco shakes his head and pulls him to bed. He's so handsome it's genuinely upsetting sometimes. Draco thinks he'd throw a tantrum about it daily if it weren't for the fact that he gets to touch him. They try their best, but they don't manage the second round before their eyes fall shut, tucked into each other like 2 hands cupped under a stream of water, tumbling into a satisfied, exhausted sleep. Harry wakes him with a kiss before daybreak. The last of the night chilling the room and puckering Draco's skin.
Do you have to go already?
Draco asks,
One eye still closed, and a hand curved possessively around Harry's bicep, not entirely on purpose. Harry shakes his head, kisses him again with a gentleness that is meant to go nowhere, but extend this kiss, warm and sweet.
I thought we could talk.
Draco is nodding before fully grasping the meaning. But even once he does, he's not tempted to break away. Must be the night, still cocooning them. Must be Harry's arms around him that are making him brave. But he's not nervous anymore. Not now that he's remembered what they're like, together. It is electric, he says, suspecting that's what Harry wants to talk about. It's always electric with you. The smile blooms slowly, lighting up Harry's face from within. His beautiful eyes, unhidden this early in the morning. His glasses still on the bedside table. Harry sits up a little, clears his throat. It seems like he's been gearing up for this. He's squaring his shoulders the way he does before trying a dangerous feint, before performing a play that will have Draco biting dust. This insane wonder of an athlete. Draco forces himself to shake the last of sleep away, to focus on him, on what he wants to say.
I know that. So many of us want you, Harry starts. On your team, on mine, the whole league actually. But I...
He looks like he's stating an absolute truth, like he has irrefutable proof, and Draco is taken aback. He knows some of the guys find him attractive, but that's not the same as being wanted. He shakes his head. What? Where did you get that?
I talked about it with the guys, but that's not the point, he adds hurriedly when he sees his eyes widen.
Draco hasn't said a word to anyone. Not out of shame, but out of sureness that they were sneaking around, that they were making it a point to hide. Apparently, he was wrong. Harry continues.
What I want to say is, I know we've not agreed on anything, that you're free to want others, be with whoever you want to be with. I thought that you knew where I stood, that if you weren't saying anything it was because you didn't want the same thing I did. But it's been brought to my attention that if I've not made an honest offer, I can't assume you're saying no.
Draco's heart is hammering inside his chest, inside his throat. He doesn't want to jump to conclusions. But if he's right, it seems Harry is saying,
I don't want this to be a once-a-month thing. I want to bring you home. I want you to meet my family. And I want the guys to know that I'm saying no to all the people they set me up with because I'm taken and completely uninterested in anyone else. Are you... Is that something you want too? I know you might have better offers, but I...
The covers crinkle under Draco's knees as he sits up, throws a leg over Harry's body so he can fully sit on his lap, and brings him forward by the neck. You beautiful idiot! What could be a better offer? Why would I care about any other offers when I have the best one right here? They're kissing, and Harry's gasping. And Draco's frenzied heart pounds against his sternum. He nods into the kiss, feels dizzy with how much he wants what's being offered. Fuck. There's nothing he wants more. Harry pulls back a little, whispers,
Does this mean we're...
Yes, fuck, it's... The game's the game.
What? That doesn't make any sense.
Shut up, it's your quote. Then they're laughing into a new kiss, and it's not the first, or even the 10th time they're together like this. But Draco's heart still goes crazy for this man. For his unlimited talent, his openness, his electric company. Quarter-finals are coming up, then semis. Then they might meet again on the pitch, and Draco might lose and throw a strop, and want to tear the hair out of his head over the beautiful Quidditch Harry plays. And then they'll get to go home and celebrate a victory. No matter who takes the trophy, that'd be the game.
The End. You've been listening to The Game's the Game, written by Hogwarts Firebolt and read by Reverie Pie. If you have enjoyed the story, please visit archiveofourown.org/works/54550420 to leave kudos and comments for Hogwarts Firebolt. Many thanks to Hogwarts Firebolt for giving permission to share this podfic, and thank you for listening.